Good morning. It is good to see all you guys this morning. It is great to be here today as we worship the Lord together and we get to listen to kids talk about their awesomest Christmas presents that they've gotten. So everybody next year, go and buy egg cookers for your kids and grandkids and you're going to have happy. And you can get it like in the 99-cent aisle at the dollar store. It's fantastic. It's a good thing. Hey, before we get into the sermon this morning, I want to bring to your attention that a couple people to pray for, and it's actually right along the same lines. Continue to pray for Dylan Preston. He's in the hospital still. Whoop. He's home now. He's weak, but he had a blood infection, and just pray that that continues to clear up. He has been through three transplants over his lifetime. And so he's been dealing with a lot. But also I was informed that Connie White's son in South Dakota, I believe, is in the hospital right now, and he needs a kidney transplant. She's asked that we pray for her son right now as well. All right? So let's go before the Lord in prayer as we get started today. Father God, I thank you so much that just able to get up here and stand on my own 2 feet today. And that we're able to get up and come to church and worship you today and to be able to sing praises to you and hang out with little kids and just have a great day together. Lord, we know that there are many people out there who are coming through Christmas season and maybe Christmas wasn't a great time of receiving awesome gifts and maybe it was a time that was pretty lonely. I just pray that you'd come alongside those people and comfort their hearts right now. Bring them some encouragement for whatever they're facing and whatever they're going through. And, you know, there's a lot of people who are hurting and put on a pretty good outside facade, but on the inside, it's a total mess. And we just ask that you would come alongside them and help them in the middle of their mess. And bring comfort and peace where no one else can. And, Lord, for those who are struggling with health issues, we just ask that you would give them strength. Lord, continue to strengthen Dylan, and I pray that you clear up the infection in his blood and that you would allow his body to function as best it can. I pray for strength and healing for him. And Lord, also for Connie's son who is in need of a kidney transplant, I just pray, Lord, that a donor would be found and that the donor would be a great match and would not have nearly the struggles that Dylan's gone through over the past 3 surgeries. I just pray that you would work out all these things for the good of those who are struggling right now and that in the midst of their struggles, they would see you right there by their side. And Lord, I pray that as we head into this upcoming year, we'll leave 2019 and everything be before that behind us, and we would head into 2020 with a clear vision of who you want us to be and who we can be because of you and your great love for us. And Lord, that we would walk with you and we wouldn't miss you this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, what's interesting is, ladies, this is a question for you. Now that you've gotten all that Christmas shopping done, now that you've got everything all situated, and you've spent massive quantities of cash at Kohl's already, are you excited because your Kohl's cash is coming due that you can use it soon? That you're getting ready to make the great purchases? You've got a stack of Kohl's cash ready to go, and you're scouring the mailbox looking for those little booklets that come in, and you peel the sticker off, and you can get 10 and 20 and 30%. And I think I even saw one that was 35% extra off and you can use your Kohl's cash with it. That's like free shopping, right? You're not going to miss out on this opportunity. Matter of fact, it's programmed into your phone. It's circled on the calendar. You aren't going to miss that, right? How many of you ladies have missed out on using your Kohl's cash and that 30% off coupon in the past? Go ahead, raise your hand. It's okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9 ladies in the room have missed it. It's pretty amazing. I didn't think there was a woman in the room that'd miss out on Kohl's cash. Guys, why is it we always hear a day after the auction or garage sale about that great trove of things and treasures that we've been looking for that someone else got to before us? A friend of mine went to a garage sale a while back, and he said, you know what, I went to this garage sale, and I always, when I go to garage sale, I always ask if they happen to have anything else for sale, and I always kind of get around and hint and say, do you have any, like, old guns you want to get rid of? And he said, this lady said, yeah, I got a bunch of guns I'd like to get rid of, and she sold me, like, 5 guns for next to nothing at this garage sale, and I was like, where's it at? And he goes, don't bother, I got them all. Her husband, when he gets home, is going to be so ticked. And I'm like, why is it I can't find these great deals and opportunities? I always seem to be a day late and a dollar short of finding these great things. And we've all heard about the sales and the opportunities of a lifetime. And we all scour the ads on Craigslist or Marketplace or and the want ads for the older generation where you go down through and it's got for sale. And we always seem to miss out, or someone just bought it, or someone just got it. Or maybe we've forgotten about being at the right place that we were supposed to be at. Today we're going to take a look at a scripture that is kind of talking about that today. And it's a little confusing for us because we kind of get around a little bit easier than they did back in the good old days. Back in Jesus' time, how did Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem? They rode on a donkey. They rode in, she rode on the donkey, he walked alongside, helped her get in. If you watch all the cartoons or the stories, you see, they walked or they rode, maybe if they were lucky, on a donkey. They had very limited transportation to go distances, and going to Freeport would take them possibly a day or two. Last night, Deanne sent me a text and said, we have to leave in 30 minutes for the game. And I'm like, oh. So I ran in and I got cleaned up and I jumped in some clean clothes and we jumped in the car and we drove, punched in the GPS, and it said, it's going to take you 1 hour and 5 minutes to get to your destination. We were going up to Boylan School up there in the Loves Park area over there north of Rockford, and it was like 65 miles to get there. And I'm like, oh, man, it's going to take 1 hour to get there, right? Made it a little less than that, but we won't talk about that. But the crazy thing about it is we look at that and we go, we can get there in 1 hour. It's no big deal. It's only 60 miles. Well, in this time, when Jesus was born, that was no hour trip. It took much longer. And so when we read the Christmas story, we read it and we think, here come the shepherds and here come the angels and here come the wise men and everything else. And everybody shows up the night that Jesus is born, right? We're going to talk about that a little bit today. It says this in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Now remember, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. These guys show up in Jerusalem and ask, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all of the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, O Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people, Israel. Now, what's interesting is this whole scene right here that we read about and we look at and we go, oh, that happened one good night back a long, long time ago, had been prophesied 700 years prior to this moment. What the mention of the star goes back to the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. We're talking Pentateuch time, way, way back in time. That was prophesied in Numbers 24:17. And the whole birth of Jesus in Micah 5:2 is put there where he's going to be born in Bethlehem in Judea. It's kind of interesting that 700 years before it happened, God gave everybody notice it's going to take place. And so this moment in time that we see taking place isn't the moment in time when Jesus is born. This is actually a time frame later, a little bit later than we normally think. I mean, when you walked through the door, what did you see to your left? You saw the nativity scene as you come through the door. On your way out, you can go look at it, and you see shepherds, and you see this creepy little dude holding an apple, and you see this, you see these wise men, and you see donkeys and everything else, and Jesus, the baby in the manger, and Mary and Joseph, right? They're all hanging out there. And you got this picture, and you get these Christmas cards in the mail with three dudes on camels coming along to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem in the manger with a star above it. That's us going to Rockford in an hour. But that's not right here. You see, sometime later after Jesus was born, what's really cool is working over in the Amish community over there in Indiana, they celebrate, and it didn't click. Why is it that we never, ever worked on January 6th? We went back to work right after the new year, but January 6th, everybody was off. They celebrate Old Christmas. Old Christmas is about January 6th, somewhere around there, because there's a couple different thoughts and theories. One is that it was because the wise men showed up at the temple time when Jesus would have been presented 8 days after his birth, which means that December 25th isn't Christmas. It should be December 29th because 8 days later, January 6th, presentation of the temple. It's so confusing. Hallmark and standardized calendar dates has messed everything up for us. Some people think it's even 2 years after the fact that Jesus was born, that the wise men showed up. But the reality is, what we think in time frames is different than what took place. But what we do know is this: whether it was the night of, 8 days later, or within a two-year time span, some people got pretty nervous about what was going on. Because some guys from the east came and they said, you know what, here's the deal. We saw the star, which was foretelling that the Savior of the Jews was born, the King of the Jews was born. And it made the king sitting on the throne in Jerusalem so nervous that he ordered every child under the age of 2 to be killed. And what's interesting is I read more about that. He was so shook up that there was a new king in town. He had his own son executed who was under 2 years old. We don't know exactly what day it was, but we do know that there were some guys who saw the signs, knew the story, and came to see. They came from wherever they came from. It took however long it did. But they came to see the Savior who had been born King of the Jews. And there was a lot of people nervous about that. These foreigners, these wise men who studied the scriptures knew what had happened, that the King of the Jews had been born. They knew where it had taken place in Bethlehem of Judea. But they knew that they had missed the birth. So where did they go? You naturally go to the palace to find a king, and so that's where they went, and he wasn't there. They knew when it happened because the star had appeared in the sky, and they knew what time frame they were living in, and they wanted to meet the Savior of the world. The only question they didn't have an answer to is, who is he? And they were going to find out that question. They were going to find an answer to that question. But what's interesting to me is, as we read that story, the religious people had all the same information. The leaders of the Jewish people that were under Herod's thumb, that were part of that community, that were supposed to be leading people, the chief priests, they had dealt with the scriptures daily. They knew the answer when the king asked. They were able to give it to him. But they didn't even search him out and seek him out. Actually, they seemed a little surprised by the whole thing wait a minute. You said the star appeared, and the Savior was born? They knew all the answers to the questions, but they were unmoved by it. And it sounds quite a bit like the people of the world today. They intellectually know about Jesus and the birth of the Savior of the world, but they don't seem to care. You see, that's what happened to the religious people of the day. They had been part of it for so long, and they had talked about it. And there's a thing that's said in Judaism. It's like, someday, when God sets all things right, we'll be there. You know, there's a lot of religious people who know a lot of stuff, but they still don't believe it. And they don't pursue God like these guys did, coming from afar to see the Savior who had been born. They had known the location, but didn't believe the Lord had come. And remember, King Herod got so worried about it and believed it even more than they did that he had his own kid executed. It says this, while King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. And here's the religious leaders. Well, it says that he's going to be born in Bethlehem in Judea. For this is what the prophet has written, but you, O Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Like the wise men from the East Orient are, the Jerusalem wise guy knew the answers just like they did, but they had no desire to follow it. They knew the signs but paid no attention to them. They knew the location but missed the incarnation of the king. They knew that he was God but had no desire to search him out and see the Savior's face. Maybe they're like many of us today who go through life every day thinking, I believe in God, I trust in Jesus, and it's all just gonna work out somehow. Someday. Just not today. You know, there's so many like them today who like the hubbub of Christmas, but not who Christmas is all about. They give him credit as a good guy, a prophet, or teacher. And they believe just short of the truth about Jesus and who he is, but they stop short of accepting him as Savior and Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, and there is no other way to the Father except through me. And you know, a lot of times we forget that. There's a great story of Paul and Silas being thrown in prison, and they're in prison and they start singing, and as they're singing the praises of God and his salvation through his son, that the earthquake takes place, the doors rattle open, and the jailer's worried because he's gonna die because he knows the prisoners all escaped. And Paul and Silas say, don't worry, we're still here. We haven't gone anywhere. And it says this in Acts chapter 16. It says, the jailer called for the lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, just believe in the Christmas story. Just believe in Easter and you'll be fine, right? Now, Paul and Silas said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. You know, there were so many religious people in that day who were propped up by positions and degrees, and they didn't find the Savior. Jesus' birth in Bethlehem was easily referenced by them along with all the signs, but they didn't even care to look. They went to the Bible for the answer, but failed to go to Jesus for salvation. And they found and knew and understood the biblical answers, but they failed to apply them to their lives. You know, we all can know a great deal about the Bible and still be lost. I know a lot of great people who study the Scriptures, and they study the Scriptures in an attempt to prove the rest of us wrong. How can you believe that? That's impossible. They know the truth, but they're not saved by it. See, you can't be saved just by knowing about Jesus or about the Christmas story or just knowing about Easter. You have to know and trust and accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and you'll be saved. These guys even knew that Christ would rule, but they would not let him. They would not let him rule their lives. You, O Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people. We like Jesus, the good shepherd, but we don't like Jesus, the ruler. You know, there's a couple ways to look at that. A ruler, a 12-inch ruler, a yardstick, a tape measure, one of those automatic ones. That which you can measure something by. He's a standard by which we can be measured by. But then there's also the ruler that is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords over the entire universe, which we are part of, which makes us fall under his authority. You know, here's something that we all need to think about. If Jesus is not the king and ruler of our lives, then he isn't our Savior either. Let that kind of rattle around there for a second. If Jesus is not the king and ruler of our lives, then he isn't our Savior either. This is something I think about a lot. Because there's areas in all of our lives that Jesus isn't the king or the ruler, because we sure don't act like we're saved. But he's patient and willing to work with us on that if we let him. And we do our part. But you know what's interesting is that any religious person worth their salt in this day knew of the coming lordship of the Savior, and they looked forward to it. And man, we read that scripture in Isaiah chapter 9 over and over and over again this year. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, him, and the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and priests there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This child, this Savior, was born to rule over all of us. No wonder why Herod was a little bent out of shape and a whole lot of worried and a whole lot of paranoid, because this is out of his control and it's out of ours. And you know what's amazing is that even with the plan of God unfolding swiftly before the religious leaders, they still huddled in Herod's hall. They hid out there, hiding away. Even though it was a time of thrilling prophecy being fulfilled, and the angels had been singing, and the shepherds were there checking out the Savior, they were there that night. Star comes in, they came out, the angels go, Hallelujah. hallelujah. They all came to see what's going on, right? They all came around. I bet you that's an 8-pounder. What do you think? I don't know. He only looks like 7.5 to me. He's just a little dude. Oh, that's a... And the story is about you. It's kind of like that fish. It's this big, you know. Little bitty baby born in a manger. Savior of the world. You know, he is. He is. The wise men sought him out, and the educated men just tried to kill him. Men of great intellect who could quote the Bible and put all the details of the birth of Jesus together in such a compelling manner that a pagan king was scared to death. He didn't even kill his own son, worried that he would lose his position of power. Yet even that couldn't move them into a relationship with Jesus Christ, Savior of their people. How could they know all this and not trip over the robes running to see Jesus and meet him face to face? Was it their fear of loss of favor with Herod, maybe? Was their comfortable routine of coming and sitting in the synagogue in comfortable pews so overwhelming that they didn't want to get up to go and check and see who's knocking at the door? Did they do a risk and cost analysis and decide it was too great of a problem because they would have to give up too much to follow him instead of hang out with Herod? Who knows what their excuse is? And knowing all of those details and knowing all of those prophecies, how could they be so stupid to miss the Savior of the world? I don't know. People do it every day, though. See, we have all the information they had and so much more. We know of his birth. We know of their loss. We know of his life and death and his resurrection. We have more to go on than they ever did, and yet we as a people in this world aren't much better than they are. And certainly we who are religious and show up Sunday after Sunday are caught in a unique predicament because we know the answer that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, yet we have family and we have friends slipping into hell while we celebrate trees with lights on them instead of the birth of the Savior of the world, the one who lights our path and changes our lives for eternity. And instead of taking the light of the gospel and the Savior into a dark world, we hide out and we huddle and we do it over and over again. People choose lesser things than the Savior to make them happy. People grow up in churches and have heard it all before and have a hard time getting out of bed to hear another sermon about something they already know everything about, right? Some people are unmoved, not compelled, and unchanged. I was told I needed to inspire you, to motivate you to do move towards Jesus. The Savior of the world was born for you. He lived and he died for you. He left his calling card in the form of a manger and a cross. And if that doesn't move you and inspire you to come and find him, don't lay it on the preacher. Wear your own hat. See, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a crazy, crazy mixed up world that's going to feed you with all kinds of stuff. But the truth still rings loud and clear. There was a baby born in the manger. Destined for a cross. So you would be welcome.
be part of us. Be part of his kingdom forever. And that's all for you. And if God and his word, Jesus and his life story, won't move you from the comfort of where you're at to the feet of the Savior, you're going to miss what everything is about. Because it's not just about Christmas and Easter. It's about you spending eternity with the Savior who loves you. You know, it's kind of weird. We're closing out. This is the last Sunday of 2019, right? How many of you thought you'd... How many of you didn't think you'd ever see this day, right? And it's weird because a couple years back, I went and I had LASIK surgery done, and they were really great about it. They took a scraper and they scraped off the surface of my eye, and then they got out this laser and like mowing grass across the surface of it, and I got to smell all that. It's kind of like this effervescent smell. And I came out of that surgery, and I could see really well. I was excited about it. I could see. But here we are 4 years later, and there's some good things about my eyes. They continue to get worse. So John even looks good in the front row because I can't see his face. So if you see the big black tundra coming, get over. I can't see you. I gotta do something because I can't see clearly anymore. And we're heading into 2020, which is weird because 2020 is the standard of vision excellence. If you can see 2020, that's a great thing, right? As you head into 2020, if you see Jesus any other way than the way, the truth, and the life, the Savior of the world, the baby born in the manger who lived and died for you so you could live a righteous, pure, sanctified life for him, you need your eyes, your heart, and your mind redone so you can see clearly for 2020 and life to come. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we've got all the answers. And yet most of us, like the wise men in Herod's court, aren't very wise and have missed Jesus. Don't miss him this year. Don't miss him a minute longer. Let his great love for you inspire you and move you to do and become great. Take off the shackles of the past. Get rid of all things that hinder. And run freely towards Jesus, the one who loves you. And may you see him clearly in the year to come. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your great love for us. That you saw our need and you sent your son. And yet, sometimes really, really smart people miss the fact that they need the baby born in a manger, the Savior of the world. Let us be simple and follow Jesus, the Savior of the world, in this year to come. May we not miss him, but may we seek him out in our lives. May we truly, truly seek him and find him as we seek him with our whole hearts this year. That's a promise you've given to us. Make it so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.